Second Timothy chapter 3 this evening. Aren't you thankful for God's word this evening? Isn't it amazing that God would give us his word? He thought enough about us. He loved us enough to give us his word. And think about the Bible. It's over 60 different authors. Human penmen. Over the period of 1,500 years, and there's no discrepancy in it. Isn't that amazing? This is a God-given book. And we're going to read about that this evening. But this book here is supernaturally given to us. People down through the ages have tried to erase it from history, and it has not been erased. I don't know how true it is, but I read a story about 9/11. You ever heard of 9/11? Remember 9/11? In one of these rooms that was almost destroyed, in one of the towers, the room was completely destroyed, but there was a Bible sitting in the restroom. I guess someone had it sitting on the toilet, that's when they read. But, the whole room was destroyed, and there you have just that little spot, little square spot where the Bible sat was untouched by fire or anything. Isn't that something? I don't know. That you can take that or leave it. Doesn't matter really, but I think God just protects and preserves his word, doesn't he? The evil person, Voltaire, the atheist, he wanted every Bible to be eradicated out of the world, and he gave his life to that very thing. And within, I think 10 or 15 years after he died, his own house was used as a Bible printing factory. Isn't that something? I tell you, God just, we almost call it a sense of humor, but God protects and preserves his word, don't we? Doesn't he? Praise the Lord for that. So we're going to look here this evening at the absolute word. Last week, we looked verses 1 through 30, 13, I'm sorry, and we saw the apostate world. And of course, we get to the end there, verse number 13, it says, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." And we just left it with the idea that we just put that in the bank, we know there's the world, do we not? It's there. It's all around us. We look around and we all turn on the news, and it's just, we understand it's there. And just put that, fold it away somewhere, file it back there, we understand that. I'm just going to move forward anyways. Amen? But in contrast to the apostate world, the world that's just dying and going to hell, we have the absolute word of God. Aren't you glad we have the Bible this evening? We can stand upon it. And so let's read verses 14 through 17, familiar verses to us, but let's read them together. It says, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." Before we dive into this passage of Scripture, let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity we have to sit here this evening and hold a copy of your words, your precious words, in our hands. And Lord, you've given us everything you want us to know about yourself and about salvation and about this world. You've given us all truth, and we thank you that we have it this evening. It's been preserved from generation to generation until one day we sit here in 2022 in this auditorium and have a copy of it, inerrant and perfect. Lord, I pray that you help us as we look into it this evening, just to confide in the Word of God and put our feet upon it and make it our foundation in our lives. Well, thank you for all that you do in Jesus' precious name. Amen. All right, so the first thing I want us to see this evening is the foundation of the Scripture. It is a foundation, is it not? It's a solid rock, something I can put my feet upon. The Bible talks about in Psalm 40, David said he cried unto the Lord, and God inclined his ear unto him, and pulled him out of the miry clay. Remember that story? And put his feet upon a rock. Now that rock is Jesus Christ. I think you could also say that rock is the Word of God. Amen? And he put his feet upon the rock. And what a wonderful thing to have a firm footing underneath of you. This is a sure foundation. I want you to notice a few things about verses 14 and 15 this evening. Notice what Timothy possessed. In verse number 15, it says, from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. He had been given the Holy Scriptures from a child. Now, this is important, I think, to note. Timothy had a father who was a Greek. We're not sure if he was saved or not. But we also know he had a mother who was a Jew. And she was saved. That's an amazing thing. And so evidently, from a very small child, Timothy was... He sat on his mother's knee and his grandmother Lois's knee, and they would read to him this Holy Scriptures. Isn't that amazing? And I tell you, and it became a foundation for Timothy. And what did Timothy? It's amazing what Timothy accomplished for the Lord in his life. But this became his foundation. And so, from a child, he had been given the Holy Scriptures. I think it's important for us to take note this evening. We ought to be teaching the next generation about the Bible, should we not? I think it's important. If you have children this evening, that's something you should be working on with your children. We sit down every evening. We have Bible time. Read Scripture, and they go through Scripture, and they're writing their dissertation. Not really, but we're studying the Bible, amen? And just a little bit of time, just precept upon precept, line upon line, and just one night at a time, one day at a time, just adding a little Scripture every single day. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse number 6 says this, these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up. Now think about that. Let those words sink in. God says that his word ought to be the center of our conversation when we're sitting in our house, when we're walking by the way, when we're lying down at night, and when we're rising up in the morning. Now, he's talking about a family here in Deuteronomy chapter 6. And he says the word of God, the commandments of God, ought to be the center of conversation in all of these places. And I think sometimes American families, and ours included, we go days without speaking and thinking about the Word of God on a regular basis, do we not? Shame on us. God says this ought to be, this is our life. He goes on and says, thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. I tell you, the children ought to be surrounded both audibly and also visibly with the Word of God. And that is one reason I would love to start and have a van route and have children come in here. Because where else are they going to hear about the Word of God? And we need to get in when they're children and give them the Word of God and make it a foundation in their hearts and say, this is who made you. God made you. He created the heavens and earth. We're accountable to a holy God in heaven, an almighty God. And we have sinned, have we not? The truths of Scripture, we have sinned. A child understands that much easier than an adult does. Honestly, I've noticed that in my time. Kids are like, I know I've done bad things, you know. Adults, you ask them, have you ever sinned? No, I'm a pretty good person. Yeah. And we got to become sinners, don't we? And so a child here can take the words of God just as they're written in black and white, and God can give them childlike faith, and they can just understand. And many of them will trust in Christ as their Savior, giving them that foundation they need, just like Timothy had. So Timothy here, he had been given the Holy Scripture from the time he was a child. But notice also in verse number 15 there, he had salvation through faith. Amen? He had salvation through faith. Look what it says in verse 15, that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scripture, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Jesus Christ. Now we understand the gospel this evening. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 11 says this. This is the record that God hath given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. This morning we talked about that. Jesus Christ is the only one that's ever been declared righteous, because he is righteous. Amen? He is the righteous. There is no other. If any of us try to make it to heaven on our own merit, on our own accord, we will be found wanting and coming short of the glory of God, because we've all sinned. Jesus Christ is the only one that's been declared righteous of the Holy Spirit. So the only chance I have of getting to heaven, where nothing can enter that defiles, is if I'm in Christ. Amen? I'm in Christ. And so the Bible says, this is the record that God hath given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Where do we find the Son of God? Where do we find him? We go up a mountain somewhere, right? We might not even go to church somewhere. We go to the Bible. That's where we find the Son of God. And Timothy was given the Holy Scriptures as a child, and from the Holy Scriptures he found Jesus Christ. And when he found Jesus Christ as a child, he put his childlike faith in the person of Jesus Christ, and God gave him eternal life. Isn't that amazing? Praise the Lord for that. This Bible right here, the same one you hold in your hand tonight, Timothy held in his hand, and it was his foundation of his life. Wow, that's amazing, isn't it? And so we can have that same foundation. Notice what Timothy had, but notice also what Timothy had done. Look back at verse number 14. The Bible says here, but continue thou in the things thou hast learned. Timothy had already learned. Does that make sense? I mean, so here's little Timothy. He's sitting on his mother's knee. He's sitting on his grandmother's knee. And they're reading to him the scriptures. And Timothy could have, as a small child, he could have said, I don't have anything to do with it. I'd rather play video games. I'd rather go play soccer or basketball. My friends are out there waiting for me. Mom, just get done with this whole Bible reading thing, and I gotta go play. I gotta do this, I gotta do that. And there's all kinds of things we gotta do other than learning the scriptures. No, Timothy, he realized from a small child the significance of the Holy Scriptures. And he learned it. He learned it. I would imagine that if there was a King's Kids in Timothy's day, he would have been a part of it. He would have studied, he would have memorized the scripture. He would have hidden God's word in his heart. And he would have said, this is important for me, I need to learn it. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 2:15, but study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So often, the words of God go in one ear and right out the other, do they not? Even when we sit down with intention to read the Word of God, they still go in one ear and right out the other. And God wants us to sit there, and he wants us to learn God's Word. It takes mind engagement, does it not? It takes some thought, it takes some effort. It takes some putting out of the world and our minds and our hearts and our lives and say, that's not important. It takes some prioritization in our lives to say, God's word is more important than anything else in my life. Amen? And so he learned. But notice also in verse number 14, he was assured of these words of God. Isn't that amazing? He's assured of them. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse number 11 says, and we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence and full assurance of hope unto the end. You know, the word of God is something that we can put our assurance in. Amen? My son, and I'm going to use him as an example, but he just bought a .22 rifle. He's real excited about it. Maybe I'm more excited about it than he is, you know? It's a pretty neat little gun. It's a Henry. And we took that thing out, and the first thing we did, Cable filled up a water jug. We put it out there, I don't know, about the end of the room there, about 25 feet. 25 yards, something like that. I don't know. He's out there a little ways. And he starts shooting at this thing. Now, I know Gabriel's a pretty good shot. I mean, he hits things. He's killed several, you know, chipmunks or squirrels and things like that. So he knows what he can hit the bullseye. But I'm watching him, and he shot off a couple rounds, and it's hitting about a foot to the right of this water jug. I said, give me that gun. So I'm shooting at the water jug, and sure enough, it's hitting way off to the right. So I aimed a foot to the left, and I hit the water jug. And I said, this is not good. And so we just went out yesterday. I think it was yesterday, wasn't it? Or the day before, I can't remember, one of the days. We went out, and we set up a target, you know, purposefully. We got the sawhorse out so we could rest on it. And we found out the thing is shooting a foot to the right at 25 feet. And I'm just like, this is crazy. I'm looking at the barrel. There's a sight there, and there's a sight there screwed right to the barrel. How in the world can you be foot off at that distance? I mean, I can understand an inch, but a foot? And so I took that sight, and I drifted it over as far as it would go till it was almost off of the barrel, and I finally got it to where it was like an inch off from the center. We're going to have to go back to old Henry and say, what's going on here? Something's not right with this gun. Something's not quite on sight. But you know, you can put your trust, you couldn't put your trust in that gun. I don't think I would. I mean, if my life depended on it, I don't think I'd put my trust in that thing. But I tell you, if my life depended on it, I'd put every bit of my trust in the Word of God, wouldn't you? Every bit of it. Because this Bible can be depended upon. God has given us hundreds upon hundreds of prophecies concerning His Son in the first coming of Jesus Christ, and every single one of them were fulfilled. Isn't that amazing? You read through your Gospels sometimes, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you read in there how often, and just mark it down on a sheet of paper, how often it says that Jesus did this to fulfill a prophecy in the Old Testament. It is amazing how many times Jesus did that. This Bible can be trusted, amen? Whatever God says, I can trust it. I can bank on it in Denver, as they say in the old days. And I tell you, this is something we can be assured of. And Timothy made the Word of God a sure foundation in his life. And he says, I can rest upon this. But notice number 3, in verse number 14, it says here, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. So what had he done? He had learned them. Number 2, he had been assured of them. And number 3, look at verse number 15, actually. It says, that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. You see, Timothy, and reading the Word of God and making it his foundation and learning the Word of God, had been made wise because of it. Timothy was a whole lot smarter now that he had the Word of God in his life than he was before. That's what it's saying. Before he had God's Word in his life, he was not wise unto salvation. But now that he had the Word of God, he is wise unto salvation. I like Psalm 19 in verse number 7. The Bible says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. That's a powerful book, isn't it? You can read books that have motivational speeches in them, and you can get aroused, and your emotions can get charged, and you can go on for maybe even a year on that adrenaline rush. But very soon it's going to change, and it's going to just fade off into the distance, and you'll be right back where you started. The Word of God is different. It has the power to convert your soul. Get right down to the heart of the matter and change you from the inside out. Isn't that amazing? Psalm 19, verse number 7 continues, the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. So in other words, the more you read the Word of God, the more knowledge you receive from the Lord God, our Lord God, and the more wise you become. So we've seen here that the foundation of the Scripture, Timothy possessed the Scriptures. Number 2, he learned the Scriptures. He was assured of the Scriptures. He was made wise by the Scriptures. But notice also in verse number 14, God gives us something Timothy should do. All right? So he already possessed them. They were given to him when he was a child. Praise the Lord. And because they were given to him when he was a child, they became his foundation, and he had these things happen to him. He learned the Scriptures. He was assured of them. He was wise. But Paul says to Timothy, he commands him here. He says, this is something you ought to do now, going forward, from this point forward. It's not done yet. He says in verse 14, continue thou in the things thou hast learned. John chapter 8 and verse number 31, Jesus said to the Jews which believed on him, If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. Now that's an interesting passage because oftentimes we equate being a disciple with being a Christian. You understand? And it's not the same thing. You can be a Christian and not a disciple. From that verse, there were Jews who believed on Jesus. What would that mean? Well, they're saved, aren't they? I would think. I mean, it's what the Bible says. They believed on Jesus. And if you believe on Jesus, you're not condemned. Praise the Lord for that. But when Jesus began to speak some troubling words, he says, you must partake of me. Many departed. And he looked at his 12 disciples and said, where are you going to depart to? What are you going to do? Peter says, well, where are we going to go? There's no one else that has the words of eternal life but you, Jesus. And so we're sticking with you. Amen? And so Jesus says to these Jews who believed on him, he says, if you continue in my words, then are you my disciples indeed. And so to continue in God's word, what does that mean? It means I make this my dwelling place. These are my boundaries of operation here. This is what I'm going to live in, all right? I'm not going to go outside. I'm not going to go over here. I'm not going to go back here. I'm going to stay within the boundaries of this word. I'm going to listen to everything it says. I'm going to read it every day, continually read it every day. And when God shows me something from his word, and he will, if you're reading it every day, I'm going to apply it to my life. And I'm going to grow with the Bible. That's what it means to continue in God's word. And so God wants you to continue. So Timothy here had a foundation of the scripture, didn't he? Secondly, I want you to see here, and this is the last point, is the format of the scripture. And we see this in verse number 16. Number one, the scripture, and when you see the word scripture, it's talking about the Bible, amen? The scriptures of God. All scripture. It does not say some scripture. It doesn't say Old Testament scripture. It doesn't say New Testament scripture. It says all scripture, amen? So every scrap of scripture you can possibly conjure up out of this word of God, all of it is given by inspiration of God, amen? Now, the word inspiration literally means God breathed. So this evening, I'm standing before you, and I'm taking in breaths. You might not hear it, but I'm actually breathing. And when I take in a breath, it's coming out, and it's rubbing across the vocal cords. I'm making words with that, and you're hearing it. Amen? And so God here did the same thing. The words of God are breathed of God. He spoke these words, every last one of them. Do you believe that this evening? Every last one. So I believe, here's what I believe, every word, not every concept, there's a difference there. Every word of Scripture is spoken by God. And so we can't take a word out and say, well, this would be a better one. It makes more sense to me, right? We don't do that because the Bible, and if you want to come for Sunday school, we're looking through Revelation 22, and we'll find out why. Amen? We see here that all scripture is given by inspiration of God. If I change one word of this scripture, just one word, let's say I swap a letter around and just maybe take an I out and put an A in, or maybe take a U out and put an O there instead and make a different word, and we say it's no big deal. I think it's a big deal because God spoke these words, did he not? If you do that to any one word of this scripture ceases to be, as a whole, the word of God. Does that make sense? So the words of God are inspired of God. The scripture, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Now, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And so he is talking about the Old Testament scriptures. I think he's also talking about the New Testament scriptures. As the Holy Spirit of God, spake by the Holy Ghost, men took a pen and they wrote down. I do not believe they were robots. I don't think they were. I think as you read the scripture, Paul's flavor comes out, does it not? I mean, it very well does. And John's flavor comes out. And you see things about these individual penmen. But God spoke the words through them. Isn't that amazing? And so these are God's words. As God was speaking, they were writing it down. And so we can see in the scriptures that there are no errors, correct? No errors. We already read Psalm 19, verse number 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. And we can go on and on about that, but you will never find a contradiction in this Bible. Now, there have been many Bible scholars, so-called, that have found what they call contradictions. And they'll go all about it, and they'll look at these different contradictions, but, you know, every single one of them have been studied and have been found out not to be a contradiction. Amen? So you say, well, why would God give us something that looks like a contradiction but really isn't a contradiction? It's my personal view. I think God wants us to study. It causes me to get in there and actually study and look at it and compare Scripture with Scripture. And that's what God wants me to do in the first place, doesn't it? And so I need to get in this book and just study and mark it down. You'll never find a mistake. You'll never find an error. You'll never find anything that's wrong. You'll never find anything you can't hang a hat on or place your life upon and just trust in. Because there are no errors, there's no problems, there's nothing in this book that is wrong. Praise the Lord for that. But also, notice it's been preserved to all generations. Psalm 100 in verse number 5 says this, "For the Lord is good." Don't you believe God is good? Amen. "His mercy is everlasting, and his truth," that is a synonym for the Bible, "his truth," his Bible, his word, his scripture, "endureth to all generations." Now that is an amazing truth. Every last generation has had the word of God available to them. That's what that verse is saying. From every generation. Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 18 says, "For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth shall pass," till heaven and earth pass, "one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled." And what is a jot? What is a tittle? I have no clue. But I do know I took a few years of Hebrew, and in the Hebrew language there are breath marks, there are vowel marks. The only letters in Hebrew are consonants, believe it or not. It'd be a hard language to learn anyway. But there are vowel marks in there, and if you go back and study the Old Testament manuscripts, you'll find that there are music notations written in. That is amazing to me. I like music. But I tell you, whatever a jot and a tittle is, nothing will pass from the law till all is fulfilled. Isn't that amazing? And so nothing is going to be lost. Even if you translate from the original Greek and the original Hebrew to English, you won't lose anything. Do you believe that? I believe it. Here's what I believe. The King James Version is the inspired, preserved Word of God to the English-speaking people. Yeah. All right? I believe that with my heart. Yeah. If you have a Bible in your hand and it is the King James Version, I believe you have every bit of Scripture God wants you to have right here. There's no errors in it. There's nothing wrong with it. I can read it. I can place my faith in it. It can be my foundation, and it can be my life. Amen? Yeah. So this is what I study. Notice also here in verse 16, it's profitable. It's profitable. And he says in many different ways here, four different ways. He says, it is profitable for doctrine. Doctrine teaches us what is right. Aren't you glad God teaches us what is right? He shows us what's right. Psalm 119, verse 97 says this, "Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Thou through thy commandments hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts." I tell you, if you never read one other book in your entire life, and I'm not against reading books, I think books are good. All right, reading is important. I think readers are leaders, and vice versa. But you can put all books that are man-made or man-written aside, and for the rest of your life, read only the Bible, and you'll be smarter than the greatest author in the whole world. Seriously. This book here is where we need to study. This is where we need to be, because it's profitable for doctrine. It teaches us what is right. But also, look what it says in verse number 16. It's profitable for reproof. This tells us where we're wrong. Amen? And I need to know that sometimes. If my children, when they were young, ran out into the street, I'd say, hey, get back here. You shouldn't be in the street. We're a little too close to the road. There's cars flying by. We lived in North Carolina there, right on a busy road, and the front yard was not fenced in. Thankfully, the backyard was, but a few times, you know, we'd be out in the front yard, and my children get a little too close to the road, within 30 feet or so. I'm like, just get back here. Stay away from that road. It's dangerous. And I think sometimes we need to be told we're not where we ought to be. Amen? It's important. And so we read the Word of God, and it's a reproof to us. James chapter 1. In fact, you can turn over there just a few pages to James, right after the book of Hebrews. James chapter 1 and verse number 22. What a comparison. The Bible is like a mirror. Verse 22, it says, and be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass, and that would be a mirror. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way straightway, forgetting what manner of man he was. So what God is saying in his Bible is, as we read the Bible, we're looking into a mirror of our soul. And it is showing us what our soul actually looks like. And oftentimes it's not pretty. And we ought to change. So many of us read the Word of God, we close it, and we go on our way and never change anything. It would be the same, much more detrimental, but it would be the same as getting up in the morning and looking in the mirror in the bathroom and seeing your hair as a wreck and saying, yeah, you know, I am too busy to fix this right now. I think I'll just go about my merry way. We need to fix it. We need to fix it. Verse 25 there says, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty. Another synonym for the Bible. Perfect law of liberty. That's an amazing term or title for the Word of God. And continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. That's what I want for my life. Amen? All right, so there's reproof. Tells us where we're wrong. Now, if the Bible stopped right there, that's all it was profitable for, we'd be in a heap of trouble. Because we know what's right, and then we know where we're not supposed to be. How many of you have ever been lost before? My wife and I, we were in Missoula, and waiting for the baby to come. And one thing my wife said she wanted to do was go on some bumpy roads. And, you know, just get this thing going, you know. So we'd get out there on some bumpy roads. And the one place we found, we got out in the middle of absolutely nowhere. I am serious. I mean, this road turned into a pig path. I'm out in the middle of the woods. It looked like it was about to start raining. I do have four-wheel drive. But I'm just thinking, you know, it just dawned on me. She starts in labor and I'm up here in the mountain. We break down, I hit a rock and break a shaft or something. We're going to be in a heap of trouble right now, right here in River City. And so we turned around and we came back. But as we're driving up this mountain, all these curvy roads, and I came to several Y's. Another reason I turned around was because we got to so many, I come to a Y, I said, okay, I'm going this way. I'm going to come back down. I have to remember to go this way. Then we come to another Y, and I say, okay, now I have to remember at this Y, I need to go this way and not that way. And we got to about three or four of those, and finally I'm thinking, I'm not sure which Y is where, you know, or which Y is X. And so we went back. Hey, man, I didn't want to get lost up in that mountain that I wasn't familiar with. But, you know, if God tells us what's right, and he tells us where we're at and where we're wrong, and that's all he told us, we're in a deep trouble. But praise the Lord, the Bible continues. It says it's profitable for correction. This explains how to get back to where we ought to be. Amen? I'm so glad for that. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 6 and verse number 23, for the commandment is a lamp and the law is a light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Sometimes you find yourself where you ought not to be. And that's unfortunate. But it's a fact of life, because we're humans. We're sinners. We're going to often be where we ought not be, are we not? And so what do you do in those moments? You just give up and say, forget it, I'm just going to keep on going the wrong direction. Well, that would be kind of stupid, wouldn't it? No, I think I'd get right back into the Word of God, because the Word of God is not only profitable to tell me what's right, it's not only profitable to tell me where I'm wrong, it's profitable to tell me how to get back right. Amen? I'm just going to continue reading the Word of God. follow the word of God. Maybe I haven't been following the word of God for a while. Now I'm going to, and God will get me back on the right track, the right path. Psalm 119, verse number 9 says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Amen? Praise the Lord. Notice also it's profitable for instruction in righteousness. Maybe you're sitting here this evening and say, well, I'm where I need to be spiritually right now. And praise the Lord for that. That's a good thing, isn't it? Sometimes we find ourselves in the wrong place. Sometimes we find ourselves in the right place, and praise the Lord for it. But that's when pride starts to kick in, doesn't it? As pride starts kicking in, and maybe some little bit of complacency starts kicking in. And I know I'm doing what the Lord wants me to do, and so I can kick my feet up and just, no, you can't. Because the Word of God gives us instruction for righteousness. This teaches us how to stay right. Because us peons don't know how to stay right. We can get it right, you know. I remember my dad was sitting in the living room one time, and I was watching, and he was looking at the wall. Of course, the wall was just a wall to me, but there was a picture, a bunch of pictures, family pictures, and one picture in the middle of my mom sitting there, and she's just a portrait of my mom. He's looking at the wall, and I said, Dad, what you looking at? He said, I'm just looking at the picture of your mom. Remembering when we got married. And he says, he looks at me and he says, you know, a hog, a blind hog, finds an acorn every once in a while. I got a kick out of that. Yeah, he said, I don't deserve your mom, but praise the Lord, God gave her to me. Amen. And I tell you, sometimes we idiots can find out we're in the right spot sometimes. How in the world did that happen? I have no clue, but praise the Lord, here I am. And right now is the worst time to stop reading the Bible. Because it's going to teach me how to stay there. Amen? Left to myself, I'll end up in the wrong spot tomorrow. Maybe the next hour. And so I need to get back in the Word of God. Psalm 119, verse number 11 says, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Alright, so one more thing this evening. I'm not sure if I said there were two or three points, but there's three. Amen? I'll be very quick. In verse number 17, notice the furnishing of God's word. The furnishing of God's word. In verse number 17 there it says, the man of God may be perfect, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished into all good works. Both of the words perfect and furnished have the idea of completeness. God wants you complete. 100% complete. Now, you know, we're going to be working towards that until we finally meet Jesus, I think. Amen? But every single day I'm being made more, and I'm being made more complete. And God's Word can furnish us. One thing I like to do, and I haven't done it in years, I like to woodwork, make furniture and stuff like that. And when I was a kid, my youth pastor was a professional furniture maker. He'd make a dresser and it'd sell for like $10,000. It's just amazing. And he enjoyed doing that type of thing, and so he would take me into his shop, and I would make things. And I remember I made a table, I made a desk, I made different pieces of furniture. I made the jewelry box that I proposed to my wife with. It was a fun one to make. But I was making these pieces of furniture, and of course I hated the part to get down to the finishing. So you cut the boards the right, you screw them together or glue them together, whatever you do. And then you got sanding. Oh, I hate sanding. My favorite. But as a woodworker, you got to do it. You got to do it. You got to sand that thing at 60 grit. You got to sand it at 100 grit. You get all the way down to like 300 grit just to sand that thing. It's smooth. And then you apply the finish, the varnish, right? You get that on there really good. And then you apply some of that lacquer finish or polyurethane and make it protected and it just shines. I tell you, the Word of God can make your life beautiful. Can it not? I remember in North Carolina at Southview Baptist Church, we had a pulpit. I liked it the same thing as this pulpit, honestly. It was just ragged looking, just old, you know. And I kind of like this one, honestly. And so one pastor Wagner said, can you fix that? I said, well, sure, I can try. And so we took it to the shop, and one of the guys in the church had a little wood shop. I took it over there, and I spent a couple of days on it. We sanded it down real good. I used some finish remover on it, and we painted it white down below, and then I stained the top parts. And I tell you, when we got done, it just glistened. It was beautiful. And that finish, that varnish, brought out the grains, and it's amazing what you can do with that. It's just beautiful. Grains of the wood, and it's just God's creation. And God can do that to your life and to my life, and the way He does it is through His Word. Amen? You want your life to be a reflection of Jesus Christ and to be beautiful in God's eyes and profitable to the world? Get in your Bible. Start sanding that thing down, your life down. Start with the 60 grit. Just, it's going to hurt a little bit, right? It's going to make a lot of dust. It's going to be all over the place. Just keep on sanding. Keep on sanding. Is it enough yet? No. Still feel some lumps there. So just keep on sanding. You get down to that, and then finally you go down to the 100 grit, and you just start reading the Bible and get a little bit deeper in there and study a little more. Read through it again. Slow down maybe in some passages and let them work in your heart, and God starts rubbing away all of it. Imperfections, doesn't it? And you get done with that, and you say, well, maybe I'm ready. Well, you're not ready yet. You got to go to 120, then 150, then 200, then 250, and then 300. Just keep zeroing in on the Word of God and just applying it to your life, and one day we'll stand before Jesus Christ and we'll be perfect. Isn't that amazing? And it's all done by the Word of God. Aren't you glad you have a Bible this evening? God's Holy Word. This Bible has been working on people's lives for centuries. And God can do the same thing to you. Isn't that amazing? And to me. It will just apply God's Word to our hearts. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for giving us your Word and all that means to us and all that it can do for us. Lord, I pray to help each and every one of us to be constantly and continually applying God's Word into our lives. I pray that we reap all the benefits of it, the doctrine, the reproof, the correction, the instruction for righteousness. And Lord, I pray that we would be complete and perfect and thoroughly furnished every good work. And Lord, I pray that we would be pleasing and useful vessels for your use. And Lord, I pray that you would just change us into your image. And Lord, we thank you. I pray just give us that heart and that desire to do so in Jesus' precious name.